my pictures are going to be just a little bit different than the ones you ordinarily see, because I'm not going to be talking about how fat I got to be. I'm going to be talking about who I am and what recovery is all about. I've made the 555 is great. I've made the observation that it's about the food and it's not about the food. I certainly qualify for being in these rooms. I'm maintaining about a 60-pound weight loss. I've ridden the roller coaster my whole life. I've gone up and down, up and down, up and down. I think as an adult, my lowest sort of weight was 145 and my highest was 260. So, and I've actually not lost any weight in the program. I came to the program after... And I discovered here that I'd been an exercise bulimic for over a period of about 3 years. From every March until November, I would be on Mount Tam, and I'd be hiking somewhere between 30 and 40 miles a week and eating a very restricted diet. So I'd go on the trails in March, and I'd do that until November, and I couldn't do it any longer. The rain came, and I have lost X number of pounds, and then over the winter, I'd gain some of those pounds back. But what I want to talk about, another thing that I've mentioned is that raising the question about what are we recovering? We're a recovery program. What are we here to recover? And that's actually the reason for those photos, because especially the larger photo, when I look at that and somebody... when I was in school some time ago, said it's a good idea to take a look at a photo of yourself as a young person to really understand who you are. And when I look at that photo of me at, I don't know, 3 months old or something like that, and I look at those eyes, and there's this bright-eyed being open to the world. And I, of course, found myself, as most of us do, buffeted by life. And my personal story isn't so critical, although it does have sexual abuse in it. And I like to make that point, because I think that happens for a lot of people, that we encounter that along the way. And what better way of protecting myself against that feeling of vulnerability than to put weight on? And so that's what I did. But what I want to say is that when I came into the program, the first thing I realized was that I belonged here. You know, the line that I use is that my body's the battleground and food is the weapon of choice. That was very, very clear. And I'd done a lot of work psychologically, spiritually. I'd even been in another 12-step program before. But it really wasn't until I came into these rooms that I felt as though I'd come home, that here was a place where I could share my journey with people who understood what it was all about. Also, when I was looking for that photograph, I came upon a bunch of letters that I wrote when I was doing my ninth step. I've been in program for about 8 months and 8 years. And when I first, it only feels like 8 months. And when I did that, I jumped in with both feet and did very intense step work. And what I came upon this morning were the letters that I wrote to the people in my life, making amends to them, my mother, my father, my brother, my former wives. And I think that what I want to focus on a little bit is how, no matter how much work I'd done elsewhere, no matter how much understanding I had about my own personal demons, that there was something about being here that allowed for healing to happen. I think we're very blessed in having the framework of the steps, and I think we're also very blessed by having this fellowship. Very often when I'm doing pitches at the end of this meeting, I talk about pitching for meetings and about how it happens that we're able to be here and to support one another. So that became sort of fundamental and remains so for me, the feeling that I can be honest with all of you about the places and the ways in which I struggle, because you know about it. And you, of course, are sharing with me in very deep and profound ways. But it's the frame of the steps where the work really happens in here, and I want to speak about that a little bit. I think everybody who's been here for a while and who's been working with steps has a relationship with them, but I just want to kind of touch on, thank you, how I look at them. The first three steps, of course, are the foundational ones, the ones that says I can be here. And it says that I've got a problem and that there is a solution and that I'm willing to allow for that solution to work in my life. Now, I know a lot of us have been challenged with the notion of a higher power and that we each ultimately have to come to that definition for ourselves. That's been an important part of my process here too. The irony of it is that I grew up in the Lutheran Church, and two of the meetings I go to every week are in Lutheran churches. I was probably about 20 years old when I decided I didn't want to have anything to do with that any longer. And now I find myself in that church, and I find myself looking for a spiritual solution for my recovery. But it works. The steps allowed me to do that because it's the God of my understanding. It's take what you like and leave the rest. I get to work with all of that to find a relationship that will support me in doing my healing work. With regard to the fourth step, I take a little bit of a different stance on it. I don't like a lot of the language in the steps. I don't like character defects. I don't like searching. I don't like a moral inventory. I don't think this has anything to do with morality. But what I do believe is that the fourth step is really essential for doing our healing work. And the way I had to recast the fourth step for myself was to examine, how do I create suffering for myself and other people? Not because I'm defective, but because that little boy, the boy that you see in those photographs, that wonderful little boy, was so damaged that he ended up doing a lot of things that caused a lot of suffering for himself and for the people in his life. But he was doing the best that he could to survive. That was really what it was all about. So what I would want to do in the fourth step, and it's what I do with people that I work, is to support them in looking honestly, because honesty is at the heart of this. What have you done? How did you do this? How did you navigate through life and along the way create this suffering for yourself and for the other people? Because, you know, I use the image sometimes with people that it's like we're walking around with a backpack that's filled with rocks. And really what this journey is about, the truth-telling that we do in the fourth and the fifth step, is we're willing to say that we're going to get rid of those rocks. We're going to put them down. First of all, we're going to say, here's what it is. This is what I did. And, you know, I've got a lot. When I looked at those letters, I think some of you know this. I've been married four times. So there are four women in my lifetime who fell in love with me and thought they were going to have a life with me. And I was a damaged being. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I needed the love, but I couldn't show up for it. So there's a lot of wreckage in my life. But recognizing how that came about, what that was about for me, and what I was trying to do to survive in those circumstances is important. And telling that truth in the fourth step is where it's at. And then, of course, we all know, sharing that with somebody else. So we talk so often in this program about isolation. The shame that we feel that's associated with all of these behaviors tends to close us down, tends us to make us withdraw. So telling the truth and then sharing the truth? Profound. And the steps say that once you've done that, it's possible to be relieved from it. And that's what the sixth and seventh step is all about, becoming ready to be released from these things, being ready to put the backpack down, put the rocks on the ground and move on with life. And the seventh step, however you do that, humbly asking that it be removed, whatever that higher power is that holds you in that process, that's really a critical step. And of course, the eighth and ninth steps. For me, that was a really profound process. Interestingly, the company that I'd stole things from in their store had gone out of business, so I had to find another way to make those amends. So it's things like that. But being honest about it, and thank you, and telling the person, like the bookstore owner in San Anselmo, that I'd stolen books from this store that's no longer in business and I want to make the amend to you, and meeting a man whose son was in recovery, and he understood completely what I was doing. And he met me and was willing to hear what I had to say and was grateful for the money that I gave him because he wanted to buy a cart, which is still sitting in front of the store when I drive by it. So being willing to make amends for what we've done is really the liberation. It's the promises come at the end of the ninth step, that we've gone through this journey from 4 through 9 of telling the truth, sharing that, accepting that there is liberation that's possible, and then saying we're sorry. And then, of course, we all know the last three steps are the maintenance steps of staying current with one another and being willing to do the hard work. And I think that one of the things that, when I started the program, I think like a lot of people, I thought, I'm going to solve the problem and I'm going to be done with it. You know, I'm going to flip the switch, I'm going to be done with it, and I get on with my life. And what I discovered, I think a lot of people do, is that being in these rooms with the people who speak so honestly about their life journey, that it's so rich to have the connection with the people who are in these rooms, that it wasn't a matter of being done with this and moving on. It was like, this is a way of life. This is a place I want to be. I mean, it's sort of like my week begins on Monday morning with my home meeting. And on Friday morning, I'm sort of bookending my entire week with those meetings. And then I come here with this large fellowship and hear somebody talk about this experience. So I'm a lifer. I can't imagine doing anything else or being with any other people, because nowhere in my life do I experience the kind of honesty that I experience within this fellowship. So I feel very honored to be here. But I want to remember that little boy, because I'm not that little boy. I'm going to be 75 in September, so I'm not a little boy. But when I introduce myself, I like to introduce myself as I'm Curtis, a compulsive eater, claiming my aliveness. That's why I'm here. You know, I don't want to dwell on the fact that food has been challenging for me. I don't want that to be the definition of who I am. What I really want is to be alive and to share the joy with other people and to encourage and support other people to have their aliveness. So I'm grateful for all of you for being here. I'm really grateful for all of the friends that I've made here. It's been a wonderful journey, wonderful experience. Keep coming back. It works.